God is good. Welcome back. Good to have you here for the second night of new members. If you're not supposed to be at new members, I think you've gotten lost. We put that video up because, I mean, what Rob shared last night, that we believe that this is a special church. We believe every church is a special church, but this is a special one to us. And the picture we have is that we've got Helen here, who's married to Chris. Helen's Chris's wife. We've got Jess, who's married to me. There are many wives, but there's only one that's special to me. And so we believe in local church, and we believe that people should root themselves in a local church. It's not to say that it's any better or any worse than any other local church, but it's this one that's special to us. And so as we take you through this new members course last night, we spoke about what we believe about salvation and baptism. Rob spoke really well on the culture of this church. If you become a member of this church, expect your food budget to increase slightly because you will have people around your table. And we believe on loving on people in our homes. And Rob shared beautifully on that. And tonight we're going to be sharing on leadership and the governance within this church, and then Jess will be sharing on church finances, which is always a great one. Everyone's got lots of questions on that. But more than just those topics, what we want to impart or what we want to share with you is that actually there are men and women that have sown into this church. They've sown not just finances, but their time, their efforts, decades of their lives. We can tell you about Andy and Irene. We can tell you about Sam and Luther. We can tell you about many people that have given good years of their lives, evening after evening, loving on people, loving on the people of Pretoria. And so we're not asking you to join an organization and to find something to occupy your time with, but we're asking you to go on mission with us, to reach the city of Pretoria, to reach and love the people that are here, to reach and love the country and the countries beyond our borders. We had some trips up there from Mozambique, from Zimbabwe. So we're not asking you just to engage with your head, but also to engage with your heart. To say, God, is this the place you are planting me? Is this the place that you want me to sow my best? I mentioned Andy Lasevich, but for many years he shared at this new members, and he had this line: "The church is not periphery to the world; the world is periphery to the church." And I think it's fitting that basically everyone that's going to be sharing through this new members, and it's not planned this way; it's just so happened. But every single person that you're going to be hearing last night and tonight, we are not employed by the church. We're not on staff. We're not full time. We're not. But actually, the heart of 3CI is that the majority carry this church. The majority are here, and exist and to serve those that aren't. This is the only organization in the world, the church, that exists for its non-members. And so, we started a little bit earlier tonight than we did last night. We are aware we want to honor your time. We don't necessarily want to keep you here for a long period of time. So we're going to keep all the questions for the end tonight, but we've got two topics tonight. One, Chris, if you want to come up, and he's going to be sharing first on church governance and leadership. And I pray that, actually let's pray. Heavenly Father, we open our minds to hear and to understand, but we also open our hearts. Would you guide us? Would you lead us? Would you plant people in this church? It is not for us to devote people to this church, but actually the people devoted themselves. And so I put my hand up and say, Lord, would you find in me someone who devotes themselves? Heavenly Father, as we go through this new members course, would you show people, is this the church for them? Or actually are you taking them somewhere else? And actually we want to be a family that build together, that love on each other together, that are in each other's homes. And I pray tonight, would you impart something of that? Amen.
Same thing that I did yesterday. Yeah, managed to switch the microphone on. Amen. I was actually planning to use my Bible, so you're not going to see me reading my Bible because I've got a microphone that I'm holding in my hand, and it would be very difficult to be paging through the Bible and with a microphone. So I need my hands moving just because of a bit of the French culture. You know, we speak with our hands, so I want my hand to be free. And so today we're going to talk about the Word of God. And by the way, if I'm dressed like this, it's because I came from work. I know this is a special moment, but, you know, I came from work, and sometimes, you know, you have to please the client. And yes, we're going to talk about church authority, church leadership, and it is important. And it's only as, I've done church leadership so many times, but, you know, the revelation of God is keeping on increasing as we open ourselves to Him. And I think the Father has got this word upon His heart because of the times and days we're living in, and He's wanting to basically put church leadership where it's supposed to be. Because the church has got an important part to play into the advancement of the kingdom of God. The church has got an important part to play, even in our country, with all the challenges that we have got. Church is important. And we need to be part of a church. So your decision, or your looking in, joining 3CI, is an important one. Not necessarily this church, but the church, universal church. But you can't be part of the universal church without planting your church yourself in a local church. It's impossible. So that's how our way to being active in the universal church is by being planted in the local church. So we look at some leadership structures, and that will be the first slide. So the authority structure is God supreme. He's above everything. He created everything. So there's no question about that. But then after God, in John 1, verse 1 to 5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." So the second level of authority is actually the Word of God. And God doesn't contradict His Word, and the Word doesn't contradict God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. So there's no authority higher than the Word of God, because the Word of God made everything. The Word of God made you and me and everything that you are involved in. And in fact, the Bible carries on, Matthew 7, verse 24, in saying, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." You start with the most important thing. I'm sure that you've seen that illustration where there's a jar, an empty jar. What do you put in first? The water, the sand, and then the stone? Or do you start with the stone, the sand, and then the water? We start with the most important thing, which is the Word of God. That's a foundation. But then in the same structure, so if we go to slides, the first slide, the structure of authority, there's God, there's His Word, and then there's our conscience. In 1 John 3, verse 20 to 22, it says that when our conscience doesn't condemn us, I'm actually paraphrasing, even God doesn't condemn us. That's why you've heard of people that are, some churches where people are being fed grass, some churches people are being sprayed doom so that they can chase some spirit. That's like a modern version of the prophet of doom. You know? We don't do that here because we know that you are going to leave the church. We trust that you have submitted yourself to God, and then you've submitted yourself to the Word of God. At least we want us to be at that level. We submit ourselves to God, to the Word of God, and to our conscience. So we're never going to ask you to do something that is against your conscience, because the Word of God doesn't allow us to do that. But then what does the Word of God say about leadership? In Hebrews 13, verse 17, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. That's in the Word. So leadership in the church is never an idea from the elders or the deacons or whatever word you want to use. Leadership in the church is because, remember, God, the Word, and the Word says, obey your leaders. Because the Word says that we obey our leaders. And I'd like to draw attention to the fact that it is leaders, not one leader. Our Father, not my Father, our Father, because there is strength and there is safety in community. So we've got a, I can call it a college of elders or a team of elders that are actually leading this church, not one elder, because all of us need to agree and be sure that our interpretation of the Word is theologically correct before we can actually bring it to the community. So one person cannot agree with himself, but at least in that diversity of our team, we can actually read the Word and agree with the Holy Spirit and agree with ourselves, and then we come, because it is leaders. It's a plurality of leaders. So even when we go into Acts 20, verse 17, the Word of God starts by saying, elders, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. And then verse 28, 29, you know, it says, keep watch over yourself and all your flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, plural, be shepherd, plural, of the church of God. There's not one shepherd. There's actually many of us who are shepherding the church, feeding the church. So it's not Rory, it's us around Rory. It's a plurality of the elders leading the church. There's actually that safety mechanism in number. There's also a safety mechanism. You know, God is not saying, obey your leaders by violating that authority structure, which is God, the Word, and the conscience. So we're not going to violate that. There's actually safety in that. So if you come to church one day and we start preaching something that is against the Word of God, you cannot obey us, because the authority structure is such that the Word first. And then the Word say obey. So you obey leadership only when we are actually in line with the Word of God. The moment we start violating the Word of God, you are free not to obey, because the authority structure of God will not be respected. So we preach the Word of God and we do our level best to keep to what the Scripture said. We don't add anything to the Scriptures and we don't subtract anything from the Scripture, especially the subtract part from the Scripture. We do not subtract anything from the Scriptures. And I think if we go back to that slide again, you will see that there is government, there is church, there is family. These are different spheres of authority that God has given us for our life in the world. So there is safety in a sense that it should be this way, that government should also obey God's word, conscience, then government can function. The church, the same. Even family, the same. So for instance, the Word of God says that my wife, not any other wife, not any other woman, but my wife must submit to me. But there is safety in that, because the moment that I go against the Word of God, she doesn't have to submit to me, because I myself, I'm violating the Word of God. So there is safety in that. The Father is saying, wife, submit to your husband, because he knows that I'm also submitted to his word. But then he also knows that his word, who is actually Jesus Christ, gave his life away. He died so that the bride of God can actually live. So the word of God is also asking me, as she is submitting to me. In fact, we've been married for how long? For 19 years. Going 20 years this year. And I remembered. We're going 20 years. I think this is the first time that I've actually said, you submit to me, isn't it? It has never been an issue, because we understand that the word of God is over us. I need to love her, because the word of God is actually the highest authority. And she's submitting to me because she knows that I'm submitted to the word of God. And there's a safety mechanism in that. I will never abuse her because of that safety mechanism. So you are safe in church because we are all submitted to the word of God. Even when the word of God says, obey your leader, you are safe. It is never going to actually be to reach a point where you are being abused into this church, because we are submitted to the word of God. I'll use another example, and we're going to do that by looking at some other models out there. And I call them those types of leadership that are out there. There's actually one that is called the Lord of all. We find that in, maybe I'll read Matthew 23, verse 8, and it says, call nobody, but you are not to call rabbi. You are not to be called rabbi. So we as elders are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. Yeah, you've only got one master, and you are all brothers. I think the next verse, if it is there. My point is actually the fact that we don't call each other elders, or you not calling us pastors, it's not because, you know, of any other reason, but the word of God. The word of God clearly says, don't call anybody pastor. Don't call anybody teacher. It's not necessarily the name, but it's actually the attitude, or maybe the heart in doing that. Do not elevate anybody, even if he's a church leader, even if he's a pastor, do not elevate anybody to actually reach as if he is God. Because the highest authority is God, the word, and nobody beside God need to be elevated to a place where we start thinking that this is the man of power for the hour, and you know, he's the one that walks in the anointing and all that. There's nobody that has to be elevated and occupy the place that only God should occupy, even in the church. Because we are all brothers. Another example would be, yes, I'm coming from work. And so are many of us here. And in your place of work, God has given each and every one of us a sphere of influence and a sphere of authority. And that is important to God as much as the sphere of influence in the church is also important to God. Because God is busy reaching out to all spheres of life. Some of us are teachers. Some of us are lawyers, doctors. Some are even slaves working for a master. I mean, not slave like it used to be in the days of my ancestors, but slaves as the Bible talks about, you know. So some of us are modeling the caring nature of God by obeying our so-called masters, but actually our employer maybe, in the way that the Bible asks us to obey them. So we are modeling God by being the best employees that we can be, but we are also modeling God or his word by being the best employee that we can be. And that cannot happen in church. So church is not the whole picture and the only picture that God uses to actually portray the nature of God. God will use family, just like I was talking about wife submitting to husband and husband loving his wife like Jesus. So God will use family to portray his nature. But God will also use the workplace to to portray his nature? Do we use our time at work to do the work that we've been paid for? When we do that right, we're actually portraying God in a right way. If we don't do it right, in fact, there are people that will not come to Jesus because they cannot see any integrity in us. So it's not just how well we preach. It's not just how well we do church, but it's also about how well we do our Christian life in the workplace, in the family, in society. When you're following a taxi that is cutting you off, the way that we react will also portray our love for God and our commitment to His Word. So that's why it's not just the pastor that needs to be elevated or the elders and all that. Our role, everything that we do in society, is important for the advancement of the kingdom. So that picture of the pyramid is called the leader, who is like the Lord of all, or elevating the pastors as if they were Lord of all, as if they were people that are actually much closer to God. You know, sometimes when God touches us, what do? We run to the front of the church so that the pastor can pray for us because we think that the pastor is more anointed to pray for us. Meanwhile, the picture of God is that the next person, the person that is sitting next to you, could be the person that God is wanting to use to actually pray for you and for God to intervene. But we have in us, you know, like that thing, when you speak to the boss, you think that you're important. So unfortunately, there's a tendency to bring that into the church as well. So when you speak to Rory or you speak to one of the elders, you think that, no, actually, yeah, I got a bit closer to God, which is actually not the picture. The picture is God will use each and every one of us to advance His kingdom. There is a story that you'll be able to tell about God's goodness that some of us as leaders will not be able to tell. There are things that you have gone through your life, and God has been journeying with you, and your story will resonate with many more people than the story of somebody who has been called to be a pastor. Yes, been called to be a pastor, but your story will still resonate with many other people, many more other people than a story of a pastor. So it's not Lord of all. We don't subscribe to that picture I call it a bit of a pyramid scheme. We don't subscribe to that. You know, the man on top actually directing, earning more money depending on how many people are below him. So we don't subscribe to that, to the Lord of all. We also don't subscribe to the servant of all. You've probably heard of other church model where you've got more like a college of deacons that are dictating to the pastor what he needs to preach. I'm sure that you've heard of models like that. So we also don't subscribe to that. That's called servant of all. In Acts 6, talking about deacons, in Acts 6, there was some kind of relational tension in those days when the numbers of disciples was increasing, the Grecians, so these are the Greek, so the Grecian Jews, which is like the Greek people that had accepted Jesus, among them complained against the Hebraic Jews. So basically these are the Jewish people that had accepted Jesus, but whose origin was actually Hebrew, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So there was a bit of a relational tension, and it was such that, you know, it's a relational tension, like we have it in every society. The Greeks were being overlooked by the Hebrews, and the Hebrews by the Greeks, and all those type of things. So that's another leadership structure that God brought in and say, let us have deacons. So we have elders, which is also overseers and shepherds in the life of the church, but we also have deacons. And most of them are leading life groups. And their role is actually to assist in the resolution of any relational tension that we might have in the life of a church, because where there are people, there will always be tensions and all that. Why is that? So that the deacons will basically kind of assist and take that burden away from the elders, and the elders will devote themselves to the ministry of the Word of God. So we come back again to the structure. It's God, the Word of God, conscience, and then the church. So the church is organized in such a way that the priority of the Word of God doesn't decrease. So that the importance of the preaching of the Word of God is still there because it's the highest of authority in the church. But then, the servant of all model is such that there are some people, in most cases there will be rich people, successful businessmen that are Christian, and they are called deacons, not to resolve the relational tensions, but they will be there just because, okay, we've made the money in the world, now I think we're actually going to come and dictate to the pastor what he must preach. So they will have a board, and that board will be above the pastors or elders or overseers and all that, which is against the Word of God. The Word of God says elders are overseers, so they should oversee the affairs of the church, not the other way around, where deacons are dictating what the pastors should do. Because when we do that, instead of preaching the Word of God, actually it's the successful businessmen, deacons, that will be pulling the strings. And it's no longer the authority of the Word of God that is above, but it's now the success of some people, the deacons and all those type of deacons that will be the highest authority in the church, which is also not well. But even more, it's end up becoming a situation where instead of relational tension being resolved, those relational tensions are actually accentuated. Because poor people will be even more overlooked because they've got no say in the life of a church. You've got a team of so-called, and I'm saying so-called deacons, that are busy dictating to the pastors what to preach. We don't subscribe to that model. There's another model, which is no Lord at all, because people have said, okay, you know what? We've been part of abusive churches where pastors are asking us to eat grass, and pastors are telling us that, you know, that horrible story that Rory was telling the other day, and say, okay, you know what, you lost your child because you didn't tithe, you know, like loading it over the people. So Lord of all, we tired of that. Actually, we tried servant of all, but then, okay, we are poor, so we couldn't become deacons and all that. Now we're going to go no Lord at all, which means, anyway, Jesus is everywhere. We're not going to go to church. We'll just meet every Sunday. We'll go and find, you know, the neighbors and all that. We'll start our own church anyway. My time with Jesus, and we're not coming to church, but we'll stay home. And anyway, God is everywhere, which is not a model that God, I mean, it's actually not a model that is in the Word of God. The Word of God says, Hebrews 10, verse 26 to 27, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice. I think that's not a scripture. The scripture is actually 10:20-28, if I'm not mistaken, where it says, do not abandon the habit of meeting together. Do not abandon the habit of coming together, which is actually in church. And subscribe to that model of no Lord at all. But you know, what is so important in all this? Why is it that church leadership is so important? Alex, if we can go back to the very first. Let me maybe touch on the last. We subscribe to a model called example-based leadership. So we want to live the Word of God and be an example of the lived Word of God. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow the Word of God. So it's an example-based leadership. And that's why you will see some of us Clint will take a team to Mozambique and he will be serving coffee and all that because it is wanting to set as an example the way that he actually lives servant leadership, serving the church, not just by preaching the word, not just by actually doing the spiritual thing, but by actually living an example, a vivid example that people can see how we are applying the word of God. And that's actually why some of us are still in the workplace. Because we don't want to come and preach the word of God by actually not being where people are from Monday to Friday, from 8 to what? I don't know. Mine is sometime a bit later. But you know, we don't want to be preaching the word in a vacuum. We want to live an example to show that we're actually following the word of God. But even more than that, shall we maybe go to Ephesians 3:10? His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So if it is in the heavenly realms, it also means earthly realm as well, because heaven is higher than earthly. So if we can influence, if we can be an example that reaches out to the heaven, obviously, even on earth. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authority in the heavenly realms. Let us maybe read it differently. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers. What comes to mind? To the government? To families? His intent was that the church can be an example to the government, to the families. So we go back to the very first slide. The intent of God is that the way that we do church, the way that we obey our leaders, not because of any other reason, but because of the word of God, can be an example to the way that we do family, to the way that we love, and to the way that we submit to each other in family. So I look at the way that it is done in the church, Jesus dying for his bride, and I come and model it in my family. Because his intent was that whatever is done in the church can become a model to all for other form of leadership, other form of rulership, including marriage. Because of what Jesus did, my marriage has to be influenced by his love and by the submission of the church to Jesus. Now we're in South Africa. His intent is that the way that we are doing it in church can become a revelation to our government. That's what the word of God says. His intent is that whatever's happening in the church can become a model even to the way that we're doing governance. So basically, the president is not lord of all, is not servant of all, or we don't live as if there's no lord at all. We can talk about it all until the cows come back. There's no lord at all. We'll do what we want to do. But actually, we should do it like it is done in the church. There is leadership, and we obey our leadership for as long as they don't go against the word of God. Which also means that when they go against the word of God, we have to do something. Speak up. Because they don't obey the word of God. And we have actually been the silent partner whenever the government was against the word of God. During the days of apartheid, that was the case. Even today, sexual orientation, there's abortion laws and all that. I'm not saying after this session we're going to go out there with placards and all those type of things, but I'm saying we need to have that understanding where we can even start praying. We can start desiring things because we know that this is against the word of God. Why? His intent was that through the church, the way that we obey the word of God in the church, if we could do that with our government, there will be the rule of God that will also come. But his intent was also the way that in church, we don't abuse people. Can you imagine if we could have a government that model itself on that, where there's no abuse of people, where there's actually a real shepherding, where somebody is sitting and saying, I will give an account for the fact that I'm governing. Why? Because I've seen the example in the church. I've seen the example in people that are being ruled by God, and I will do my work with that example in mind. I will shepherd, I will lead, because I've seen what is leadership in the church under God. And that's what God is saying. His intent was not that the government will be the example, but his intent is that the church will become the example, that the family will follow, and that the government will also follow. I'm sure that we know what we can pray for when we're praying for our government. I'm sure that we know what we can pray for when we're praying for our marriages. That I will love my wife the way that Jesus loved me. And her submission is not because she's lower than me, but actually a submission because she has seen the love in me like the love of Jesus. I will actually, if I get a position of power, I will love the people that are submitting to me the way that Jesus loved the church. I will serve. I'm not going to take taxpayers' money and do some other things. Why? Because I don't want to abuse. But where is that example that actually governed me? I've seen it in the life of the church. And that's why it's so painful to me personally when people say, I don't want to go to church. The church is not perfect. We agree. But like Rob said, you know, until you join it, then you realize that actually it used to be perfect. Church is not perfect, but church is a vehicle that God is using so that we can model something of the divine and the godly to this ungodly world. That's church governance, and that's what God wants to demonstrate even to the rest of the world. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. So we believe in elders. We believe in deacons. We believe elders are appointed to an office. It's not a title. It's not a title we carry around. We don't call people pastor or father or bishop. These are just roles that we fill. So they're elders to oversee, to shepherd, to look after the governance of the church. And then they're deacons. And if you look at it, you can go through the technical definitions, but deacons exist because churches have problems. That's why deacons are appointed. And so I want to take just a quick moment. If you look around, you'll see there's an Alex behind the AV desk. There's a whole bunch of people behind the coffee machines there. They're going to be making coffee for you in about 2 minutes' time. There's a Chloe and a Mario who have brought their newborn kid and their life group out here to serve us tonight. And so this is the picture of the church that we have. We can all fulfill different roles, but in terms of the governance of the church, it's elders and deacons, and then we all pursue Jesus. So follow me as I follow Christ. And that's the line that we live with.